Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. That's our website, HagmanandHagman.com, for the show information. HomelandSecurityUS.com for news, news investigative reports. Let me put it that way. That's being resurrected. And many things coming your way, exciting things coming your way, some by necessity. And that's what we're going to be getting into with our guest this hour, Josh Tolley. And there's many things to talk about, many things. It stands off tonight because of some situations that we need to get out in the open. We need to let you know about very, very extremely important. This hour is critical, folks. If and please tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell a family member about this hour of the show, because this will be an hour to be played over and over again. I can guarantee it. Before we get to our guest that Joe's going to be bringing on, just a moment to tell you about Policy Genius. You know, I thought I knew a lot about life, health insurance, insurance of all types, but I have to tell you, Policy Genius, well, it made life insurance for me a lot easier. It's not that I thought it was complicated. It's just that I did not realize all of the things that I learned through Policy Genius. I want to ask you if you've got life insurance. If you don't, how come? Why not? Do you think it's too expensive or a hassle? I don't care how old you are. And if you don't have life insurance, let me ask you, what would happen to your family if something happened to you, if you're the primary wage earner? To me, and this is my point of view, I'm a guy, I want to take care of my family. If I'm the primary wage earner, if I'm not here, I want to make sure my family is taken care of. And that's my responsibility. That's why I turn to Policy Genius. PolicyGenius.com is the best online life insurance marketplace, bar none. The most accurate quotes from the top A-rated life insurance companies. No more will you go to a captive agent. No more. This is the go-to place, bar none. PolicyGenius.com. They've got a very simple, user-friendly website where you can shop and compare all of the top-rated life insurance companies and give you the best options. They have a licensed customer service team. To me, that's important. They'll help you find the best policy at the best possible price. I have used this. My daughter used this with great success. Yes, she signed up via PolicyGenius.com. And while you're there, check out other insurance offerings like health insurance. And you know what? Even insurance for your pet. Hey, lady, studio dog, come here, baby. That's right. It's okay. I'm just gonna get some pet insurance on you. Folks, go to PolicyGenius.com today. That's PolicyGenius. Policy Genius, PolicyGenius, PolicyGenius.com. Just today, to save over 40% off of other prices for your life insurance. You know, when life insurers compete for your business, you save money. Once more, PolicyGenius.com. I'll spell it one more time for you. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Right now we are joined by Josh Tolley of the Josh Tolley Show. He's come on to talk about a number of things, but one, the most important, something that happened to him recently was the censorship of a YouTube video that he had put out there for all to see. Josh, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much for having me. Doug, nice to talk to you, too. It's a pleasure to be back on with you, gentlemen.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. You know, Josh, I don't know exactly where you want to start, but I just want to start by making an opening statement, then I'll toss it to you and Joe. Number one, I'm outraged. I'm angry. I watched a video that you did of an interview with a woman at the, I believe it was a state capitol in Missouri. It's on your YouTube channel. And it's my understanding that this YouTube, this video, because of the information contained that you, your investigation has revealed, this video has been censored, basically. I don't know how else to put it. Censored, not, the link doesn't work in cases. I mean, it's been beat up. The news, the people behind the news don't want this information out, and I am angry. And I watched it not once but twice, and I'm upset not at just the information. There's two stories here: the information that you uncovered, and then the censorship of that very same information. With that, I'm going to turn it over to you and Joe.
Yeah, Josh, go ahead. Why don't you explain what was going on with your YouTube channel?
So the YouTube channel got a little bit censored, like Doug was saying. It's interesting because we've had videos on the channel that have had over a million hits. We have multiple videos with over a million hits. None of those multi-million hit videos had nearly the traction that this had. This was being, it just exploded on Twitter. It was a trending topic. It was everywhere on Facebook. Then we started getting messages on how the posts were disappearing, or how they would post it, but then they would go to hit the post, you know, to make it live, and an error message would come up. And it got to the point where people were sending us in screenshots. One lady sent us a message that said at first she tried to post the link. That wasn't working. So she just posted like a synopsis of the story with my name in it and said, go look up Josh Tully's YouTube channel. That got blocked. And we actually have screenshots of this. And then she said, Josh, I took out your name. I took out Josh Tully, and they let me post it. So it got to the point where even my name was being blocked. We've been contacted by other news outlets about the blockage. They were like, hey, we've heard about this video. People around the newsroom have been talking about the revelation that's coming through this video. We've tried to open it, and it won't work. We've tried it on Explorer, on Chrome, on Firefox. And then so we took it down, we re-uploaded it, gave it a new link, and that one is actually still available. People can watch that one. But the view count is nowhere near the traffic count. So people were getting error messages posting that as well. So then we decided, okay, let's kind of split it up into five little mini videos so it'll give it a different address and people can share that. But the reality is that a lot of these social platforms are either taking down the post or won't let the post go through, or, you know, link broken, error message comes up. And it was obvious based just on the number of screenshots. We're not talking about, you know, one or two people who don't know how to use YouTube, or maybe they're new or something. We're talking about literally hundreds of people from all across the political spectrum, including other news organizations saying, hey, we can't get this link to stick. So there was obviously a pushback against this video.
Why? I mean, I know why, but
so what this video is, and here's the deal. I want people to share it. You can, I'm giving you permission. If you want to copy it and put it on your channel, go ahead. Like, really, I'm not doing this so you go to my channel. Take it, put it up yourself, just do whatever you have to do. We were put in touch with a lady, and we're just going to call her Jill. We were put in touch with a lady who works in a government capacity, we'll just say that, and we did the interview right in the state capitol. Now, she's not an employment, she's not an employee of the government, but she works in association with a government capacity. Well, this lady in the video outlines how she had been partaking in the UN refugee resettlement projects that are happening in Missouri. And she finally had enough. She had to blow the whistle. And she's saying, Josh, this is what's happening. There are airplanes landing in not only Missouri, Kansas City, St. Louis, but other places in the middle of the night. And on these airplanes are refugees. Now, these aren't coming in the official numbers. These are unvetted, undocumented refugees. And I said, so you know they're unvetted? She said, absolutely. She said 24 hours before they got on the plane, nobody knew who these people were. The most common name is an acronym called FUNU, which I never even heard of. But it stands for full name unknown. Like she said, Josh, we literally have no clue who these people are. They get off of an airplane. They're carrying tuberculosis and a number of other diseases, which has been proven. People can Google that. Minnesota, Tennessee, and a number of other states are trying to sound the alarm on the contagions that are coming in, or whatever you call them, that are coming in on these refugees. The doctor, I think her name is... I just had her on the show. She's the head of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. She was on my show talking about how this is absolutely an epidemic. Nobody's talking about it. The whooping cough outbreak we saw last year was linked to refugees. The respiratory issue that was mysterious last spring, that was caused by refugees, but nobody wants to admit it. So these refugees are coming in completely unvetted, completely carrying pathogens, and they're just letting them into the airport in the middle of the night. They're taken to a separate room. She asked about the airplanes, because these airplanes are regular commercial flights. It's not like some sort of UFO sort of, no, they're regular flights. She says, well, are they going to sterilize the airplane before, you know, Americans get on this in the morning on their commute to Cleveland? No, not at all. So they put them in a separate room. They're asked for their name if they happen to know it, but they can give anything at all. Or they go by FUNU, which means at some point they're going to assign them a name. And this is what sent her over the edge. This is what turned her into a whistleblower. She said, Josh, we give them social security numbers. Not, you know, hey, we register them with the government to let them know we're here. No. They're skipping go. They're collecting the $200. They're getting social security numbers. She says, then we immediately take them to another place. We fill out the paperwork for them to get American passports. And I even asked her to clarify. I said, wait a second. So you're telling me that they get a social security number and a U.S. passport? She said, yes, without any hesitation. And I said, well, that's the golden ticket. Now they're no longer some stranger from a foreign land. They're not somebody with a green card. No, they have a regular social security number like you or I. And she said, Josh, this is happening all over the place. There are organizations that are making money running these refugees. Like, most of them are religiously based, which kind of ties into something I know you guys were talking about a year ago when I was listening to your show, where you have, like, Catholic charities, and I'm not picking on Catholics, but you have, like, Catholic charities, you have Lutheran outreach, you have all these religiously themed outreach programs. They're making $2,500 a refugee. They're running refugees the same way as these coyotes are running people across the Mexican border. These organizations are making money running refugees. And we're filming this interview, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is insane. If I wasn't sitting in this room right now, I wouldn't believe half the stuff coming out of your mouth. And Doug, you and I talked about that, how there's a lot of weird stuff on the internet. But this lady, you even asked me, well, is there proof? The answer is yes. This lady actually put together an entire presentation that she presented to the security or Department of Homeland Security committee, whatever it is, for the Missouri legislature. She's presented this information. Like, here, this is really happening, guys. So we aired, we filmed the video, the interview, and we put it up on the YouTube channel. I aired part of it on my live broadcast, and then it starts getting banned in places. But in the interim, while people were still watching it, we got contacted a multiple number of times. We're working on an interview right now with a Lutheran pastor who actually resigned his position because he said, Josh, I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know who to tell. But I resigned as a pastor from the Lutheran Church because the Lutheran Church Synod that I'm part of is making money running refugees. And I brought my concern to the Synod leadership, and I said, either this stops or I have to leave. They're not stopping. They're making a ton of money. And when we're talking about a ton, we're literally talking about tens of millions. The Lutheran outreach aspect of this was somewhere between $40 and $50 million they're making. The Catholic Charities outreach part, that's over $60 million. So we're talking about a ton of money. He said, Josh, I quit. I had to resign being a pastor because my church is now making money running refugees. I got contacted by a lady here in St. Louis. She works for a company. And she says, Josh, we're hiding them through our HR. We're hiding them through payroll. The refugees will come in. My boss is part of one of these outreaches, and they will run the employee through the funnel, will claim that FUNU is working for the company, will pay him $20,000 over the course of the year, but in reality, he got that money up front. And this lady confirmed that. She goes, yeah, they get an EBT debit card right away, and they get money on it. They tell them, or they tell the public if they ever ask, well, this is for gas money. They don't have a car. What are they putting gas in? And then these people go into society. And she said, Josh, here's the problem. We don't keep track of them. Because now they're U.S. people with Social Security numbers and passports. There's no need to keep track of them. Why would the FBI watch them? It's not like they're officially immigrants. And she said, so there's nothing from keeping them from walking over the border to Illinois or walking or taking a bus, whatever. You get the point. To get to another state, there's nothing stopping them. They have free reign of the entire country now, and nobody's watching. And, you know, on the way home, me and the camera crew were doing some just math in our heads. And we said, okay, so she knows this is happening in St. Louis and Kansas City. Maybe just two big cities. But what if it's happening in two big cities in every state? That's 100 locations. And if 100 refugees are fitting on an airplane, that's 10,000 refugees every time they do a rotation. And so that was just math we were doing in our head on a trip back. But then she said something in the interview that really kind of was alarming. She said, Josh, this isn't refugees. This isn't immigration. This is an invasion. We're being invaded. And she said, this was off camera, but we asked her in camera about, you know, are they mostly women and children like we've been told? And she says, no, they're mostly men. But off camera, we asked her, I said, do you see any? She goes, I haven't seen a child yet. So then you're thinking, okay, well, if that's the case, and a lot of them are refugees, well, we decided to go down that path a little bit with something that I know I brought up on your guys' show a while ago. And that's the fact that refugees come with certain protections, and they come with something else called the UN. Where there's refugees, there can be UN peacekeepers. So I asked her about that in the film. And I said, well, wait a second. If they're technically still refugees, but they're getting social security numbers and passports, refugees come with UN peacekeepers, or at least the ability. She said, yes. And this is why you're seeing these conspiracy news sort of reports where people are saying, yeah, we're spotting UN vehicles in St. Louis. We're spotting UN vehicles in Kansas City. And all of this stuff is going completely, nobody knows what's happening. And I asked her again in the interview, and I said, well, do bureaucrats, governors, congressmen, do they know this is happening? And she said, in most cases, no, they have no clue. And then if states try to fight back, like Tennessee and Texas are trying to fight back, one, they're fighting the losing battle, but two, they just hide it under another third party called Wilson Fish. So now it's not the government's resettling people into your state. Calm down. That's not happening. It's a private entity called Wilson Fish, which is basically a professional refugee-running organization, and they run them into your state, so now you don't even know. Now it's not even under the state record. There's no clue. There's no record of these people coming in.
And if I can interject,
that's what she was exposing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
If I can interject one thing, and folks, I really want everyone to understand, Wilson Fish, this was so named for its congressional sponsors. This is a bill that was added back in 1984. It's an amendment to the Immigration and Nationality Act that authorized the Secretary of Health and Human Services to implement alternative projects for refugees. And I believe, based on my research, Josh, that this Wilson Fish program, this alternative refugee resettlement thing, is one of the keys to this. I just want to throw that in there. Continue on, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're right. And so this issue comes out, and then Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus, they try to block this thing from getting out there. Now, thankfully, some people have gotten it out there, but it's getting that funnel of, oh, well, it's fake news. So even people like the Gateway Pundit, the Beltway Pundit, and even the Blaze, which is an organization I'm not always in agreement with, but even they've contacted us on the idea that, hey, wait a second, this is being censored, and hey, wait a second, this is happening. We need to do more follow-up stories on this. So that's what this is really all about. I think that's a great place to kick this off. And I would just urge people again, go ahead and take it. Go ahead and take it. Copy it. Do whatever. Put it out there, because people have to see this. And keep your eye open for things, because, Doug, this is something else you and I were talking about yesterday, I think it was, or today, whenever. As a hobby kind of amateur student pilot, right, I have an app that lets me see transponders of airplanes. And it's a cool thing when you're flying, but it's just kind of a fun plane spotting thing when you're just on the ground, too. And about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I started seeing these videos online where people would have the app out, and they would say, wait a second, something's going on here. I see an airplane above me, see, and they'll pan up and they'll show an airplane. Then they'll look down on the app and they'll say, but technically there's no airplane. And we're not talking about Area 51, you know, B-52 before we knew it sort of, you know, well, of course they kept it hidden. We're talking about, you can see on camera, it's a commercial airliner. It's landing at a commercial airport. So this isn't some sort of, you know, maybe they're just hiding advanced tech. No. You can see it, broad daylight. but it's not showing up. Its transponder is not pinging on the app. And for a while, I thought, well, these are just some sort of weird, crazy, conspiracy, kooky sort of videos. I don't even know if I believe this. But now, after talking to this woman about how they're landing airplanes without people knowing, maybe. Maybe they're turning the transponders off. Maybe. She didn't say that. That's just my speculation. But it makes sense, because when she asked, wait a second, why are we landing these people in the middle of the night? Why are they coming in at midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? The answer from the UN settled or refugee resettlement participants was, oh, the flights are cheaper. Well, we know that's a bunch of hogwash, because, one, the time you fly doesn't really change the price all that much. Two, they're chartering out the airplane anyway. Three, they're flying them in from someplace that's 20 hours away. So did they leave in the middle of the night? So that whole idea is just an excuse. They don't want you to know these people are coming through the airports.
And, Josh, this is something, this reminds me of a story that went, it was completely underreported. I don't remember where I saw it, but about 6 months, 8 months ago, there was a story describing exactly what you're talking about, coming out of Germany, how Merkel was flying refugees under the cover of the night that were not being documented, that were being flown in by plane, bussed out from the airports,
yeah,
from a number of different airports in Germany, and nobody really picked up on it. But it's something that
I forgot.
Yeah, it's something I caught, and we talked about a little bit on the show, but there was no, you know, it seemed to die out. That story died out really quickly, and there was no follow-up. There was no anything about it. I'm going to have to see if I can still find it. But it sounds eerily similar to what I remember reading about was happening in Germany. And in the article, they went on to say that, you know, they only had knowledge that this was happening 2-3 times a night, but they went on to say that they believe that this was happening not only in Germany, but all across Europe and in much larger numbers than what they were able to provide at the time. And it's very troublesome to... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that might be the reason why we're seeing such a rapid increase in the Muslim population, too. Because my wife is part of an organization where they have a national convention, and part of what they were talking about even 9 months ago, how there were about 2,500 mosques in the United States. Well, just this week we looked it up again, and there's, 900 mosques more. So in the 9 months that it's been since the convention, we've added 900 more mosques, so 100 mosques per month. It's the fastest growing religion and population group in the U.S. And, of course, part of that's because converts, too. You don't have to import converts. People who are here convert, and then it increases the numbers well. But a lot of people are starting to say, hey, wait a second, where did all these people come from? We just had dinner with some business friends of ours, and they live in small town Illinois. And they're like, man, this town that we're in, it's been totally taken over. It's been totally taken over. There are Muslims everywhere. We have no clue where these people came from. Nobody told us there were refugees resettling here officially. Where'd they all come from? Well, then you hear reports like what you just said, Joe, and what this lady just said in the interview, and it starts to make sense. Like, all of a sudden, well, wait a second, yeah. We're adding tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, a million plus Muslims in the past year and a half. Well, holy cow. And at the same time, we're supposedly losing religion in this country. 3 million people a year now list themselves as non-believers in anything, but somehow the Muslim faith grew by 100 mosques a month, really?
Yeah, and I found the article, 16th of August, 2016, Germany's secret night refugee flights. This goes on to talk about, it says, German Chancellor Angela Merkel's government is flying massive numbers of Muslims into German airports and military bases on secret night flights. That was a charge by a German writer, Mr. Mahler, and they go on to say that the government has been denying these claims as being false, but they say that Merkel's credibility on this issue is non-existent, as she has been caught repeatedly in lies and deception on migration and refugee matters. And that's on the New American, and I'll read into this further later. But it's very troubling with what you're talking about. And in the article, they do go on to say not only the refugee crime cover-up, but there is a refugee invasion. And they're talking about, you know, how many immigrants and refugees Germany brought in that's on the radar. But the massive amounts that are coming in the back door. They call it an astronomical number. And they say that in Germany they're bringing in 1.1 to 1.5 million in a 2-year period. And that's very troubling, because you know, and another thing I wonder about is, you know, these multinational NGO organizations are being paid. Who's paying the bill? Did you find out who's paying the $2,500
a head? Yeah, it's tax dollars. So what happens is we set aside money for refugee resettlement, and she explains that in this video, how the number used to be like a cap of 50,000 refugees a year, then we upped it to 100,000, then it went down a little bit, then it went up again. But the government sets aside money just for this purpose, and it's billions of dollars. But like we've seen in the past, one, the government always lies about numbers. Always. And if you talk to anybody in Europe, and I know you guys have listeners in Europe just like we do, if you talk to anybody in Europe, Europe is on fire right now. The government lies, and it doesn't matter where the government is, that's just part of government. Government lies. Sweden tried to lie, oh no, it's a safe place. And then that news story blew up, because everybody in Sweden's like, what are you smoking? Rape is up through the roof. There's violence everywhere. Police won't even go in our neighborhoods. We can't find contractors to build a new police station because the contractors are being attacked with grenades, for goodness sake. So wherever you hear, well, it's only 1.5, double it. And the same thing is true here. When you hear the government say, well, it's only 35,000, well, here's the thing. That's 35,000, and she points this out in the video, and it might be like 35,700 or whatever, but she points out the exact number in the video, and she said, Josh, that's since the first of the year. So even the official number is we brought in 35,000 since January 1. So whatever the government says the number is, always increase it. And the reality is that whether it's here in America or Europe or Asia or Northern Africa, you're seeing this massive influx of Islam, this massive influx of violence that comes along with it, and for some reason, naive Americans think that we are going to be the only country that doesn't have to deal with this. Notice how Canada was in the news today talking about how their citizens don't want the refugees either. They don't want people running across the border. They don't want people being dropped off in the middle of the night. So everybody on the planet seems to recognize this, except naive Americans, thinking that we are going to be the only entity that's immune to this problem.
That's right. And you know, these morons with the signs basically welcoming these refugees. And I've got a problem with
did I
the
lose you guys?
Term. No.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us? Hello? Can you hear
Hello?
Us? Yes. Hello?
We're still
Hello?
Here, Jack.
We're here. We're here.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Okay,
my
yeah.
phone went dead there for a minute.
Oh, gee, that's a coincidence. I, for one, however, you know, I've got to say this. I've got a problem with the term refugee versus immigrant. And I know Jill, we'll call her, during your interview mentioned the same thing. Refugees versus immigrants under the 1980, act signed by Jimmy Carter. A refugee is, there's three criteria for refugees. A refugee is categorized as fleeing from religious persecution or from a war-torn country or from a national disaster. But what we're seeing are not refugees. We are seeing immigrants that are being brought in here, as you pointed out, given social security cards, given the golden ticket, as you point out, the passport of the United States, and hell, they can't even speak English.
It's yeah, they don't
ridiculous.
Even know their own names.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Funu. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if
this
if,
is crazy.
What surprised me even more than the interview was the responses that we were getting from the interview. We had a lady in Minnesota who lives in that suburb that has now become basically Little Baghdad. And she said, Josh, they intimidate you. They park outside your house and they laugh at you and they taunt at you because they know the police are not coming. They're not coming. This whole idea that somehow, you know, well, we have law and order in America. No, we don't. Because a lot of these areas, the police don't want to deal with the Muslim problem either. And as long as we continue to call Muslim a race or Islam a race, They're going to continue to label us racist, but Islam is not a race. There's Asian Muslims, white Muslims, black Muslims. It doesn't matter. It's a problem. And as long as we ignore the problem is going to continue to grow. And we've been talking about this for a long time. Islam is very smart. They're going to partner with other disenfranchised organizations in the U.S. We already know George Soros is funding a lot of this Islamic outrage. He's also funding Black Lives Matter. So these two groups are starting to merge, and you're going to see the conversion rate to Islam go through the roof while Donald Trump's president. And because they get to say, look at this bigot, look at the racist, you need to fight back against oppression. Don't you feel like you've been oppressed by the man for so long? Well, yes, I do. Well, come on over to Islam. We got what you need. And that's not even speculation. That's happening. Ask any prison ministry, what's your number one challenge in prison? And it's the rapid rate at the conversion to Islam that happens in prison. So it's not a myth, it's not a conspiracy, it's not a speculation. It's real, it's happening.
Man, this is disconcerting, and everyone listening to this broadcast should be very concerned, and we should be proactive. Active, proactive, whatever. But folks, our guest is Josh Tolley, T-O-L-L-E-Y. He's got a program daily. Folks, tune into his program. This video that we're talking about is on his channel. It's in the program description, or will be in our video, in our program description as well. But make it go viral, all right? Take that video link, make it go viral. Get the word out. Josh, this is, okay, and I heard you during the interview. You asked Jill this. Does Donald Trump know? And I was interested in her response because it seems like he does respond to or watches his Twitter feed. Of course, you know, assuming he's not shadow banned by now. But having said that, what do we need to do? I mean, what
can we do?
What should we do?
Well, there's a few things we should do. One, you need to contact your local politician, your local people, your city councils, your county boards, because these refugees are coming in to a lot of areas without these local politicians even knowing they're arriving. It's not like they have to fill out some sort of formal paperwork and say, here we are. See, what they're doing is really sly. They have the official program that says, well, yes, we notify a state and we pick up the payment of the refugee for 6 months, and then it goes on the state welfare program, which is absolutely true and deplorable enough as it is. That right there is enough to say stop. That's enough. But in addition to the official program, there's the unofficial programs. And those are the ones that people are really starting to witness and speak out against. So talk to your politicians. Let them know what's going on. Let them know what you're seeing in your local areas. And be observant. Really be observant. We have had people contact us who said, Josh, I've witnessed the planes too. I had no clue until I watched this interview what was going on, but yep, it fits exactly to the T. They line up five vans, a bunch of people get in, we never see these people again. Nobody knows who the vans even belong to, there's no signage. So pay attention to what's going on. And then get prepared. Get prepared. This is coming. China is fighting Islam. Russia is fighting Islam. Do you really think that as we watch the hurricane consume the planet, that America is going to be immune to this? It's not. Right now, even the FBI, with how little we can trust the FBI, even the FBI says that 80% of mosques in this country are preaching a violent jihad message. Well, newsflash, that's 80 new mosques a month, in addition to the ones that already exist. So we have to get ready for this. And getting ready means knowing your Bible. And I'm going to give you a clue here, because they are very effective at converting the youth. I actually watched a man convert a pastor right on the street. And he knows the Bible so well that he twists Bible scripture to get the pastor to believe that he's actually a Muslim. Because most Christians, 7 out of 10 of the Christian believers in this country, have never read their Bible. So when a Muslim comes along and knows the Bible better than even the pastor, well, wait a second, yeah, maybe I am a Muslim. And he converts them right on the street, and they're very good at it. So start studying the Bible if you are a believer. 2 or 3, whatever number I'm on. Make sure you're involved in your schools. There is a program ripping through schools right now. Most parents have no clue it's happening. It's happening in even in private Christian schools. We have, I think it was 7 or 9 here in St. Louis. That it's 9 that have their private Christian schools, but they've now instituted Islam because they go for a certain curriculum accreditation. And part of the agreement, if you want the accreditation, is you have to accommodate Islam. So there's a Christian academy here in St. Louis, for example, that has now added a prayer room. And the few parents that actually pay attention to their children's school said, wait a second, why is there a prayer room? And they said, well, it's for any child that wants to pray. Any child can just go in there and pray. Well, hold on a second, Jack. The 4 Muslim students are the only ones that use it. We never had a prayer room until the 4 Muslim students got here. We had to change the lunch menu now to accommodate the 4 Muslim students, and most parents have no clue it's happening. And that's happening in private and public schools all across the country. And if you think, well, my kid goes to a Christian school, too bad, it's happening there too, because in order to get the accreditation, you have to comply.
And
the
Josh,
other place they're attacking, oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add this. Yesterday, we touched on this a little bit. There's a few stories coming out about, private and public schools, both some that the ACLU even sued to get Christian prayer and prayer groups taken out of the schools and after-school programs, have turned around and allowed these Muslim prayer rooms, have bought Muslim prayer rugs for these students while still banning Christianity from these schools. It's such a hypocritical double standard that we see going on, and anybody who has children in schools, public or private schools in America, should continue to ask their children if these things are happening in their schools, because it is a doubled standard. It's just crazy to me that even some of the schools the ACLU have sued are now allowing, turning around and being silent when these Muslims are given special rights that others are not.
Well, that's for 2 reasons. 1, everybody's afraid of the Muslims. So nobody wants to say, well, we're going to ban your prayer practice because you might end up with your head laying in the ditch. And that's not even a figure that actually might happen. So people are afraid to stand up against the Muslims. They're certainly afraid if they're just a school teacher or a principal who never had to deal with this stuff before. Christians don't get mad and chop off your head. They just complain to the PTA. So there's a very real reality that says, well, I don't want to talk up against the Muslim because the Muslim might actually kill me. Then the second reality is, let's just be honest, the ACLU and all these other organizations have never really been for separation of church and state. They've been after the destruction of the Judeo-Christian foundation. So they're ignoring every other religion because in Islam, for example, it actually helps their cause at destroying the Judeo-Christian foundation. So between those 2 elements, you're not going to have people stand up to Islam. That's why it's not happening in Germany. It's not happening outside New York. It's not happening in Nashville, where they have a massive Muslim population now. It's not happening in Minneapolis because people are afraid to stand up. But in addition to the high schools, elementary schools, and middle schools, you also have to be worried about the colleges. See, they've invested tens of billions of dollars. And even political pundits that I don't always agree with, like Ann Coulter, have been pointing this out for years. Saudi Arabia is buying chair positions at a vast number of colleges. And notice how they're not necessarily spreading Islam, but they're spreading an anti-Christian message, which is why your kid will go to school being a believer, but 70% of them come out of college not believing. And in addition, they're demasculating the men. Look at how many safe spaces we have now. Yale University just came out with a guideline that says we can't call them freshmen anymore. They have to be called first years because freshmen is too gender binary specific. We have instituted a policy where You know, even white milk is considered racist. So they're taking away the manhood of the next generation. So that way, by the time this generation grows up and takes its place in the world, they will be too afraid to stand up to Islam. And I know that is a fact, because last night we were at a political organization. And these were people who had enough. Let's do something, right? And with the exception of two people, all of them were over 60. Because the 60s and overs came from a generation where, wait a second, we're getting invaded, somebody do something. The 40s and unders are so, well, we have to be PC, and can we just coexist? It's such a great bumper sticker. And let's do interfaith conferences. And what about Chrislam? And we become so wussified, where most pastors won't even talk about Islam or politics from the pulpit. They'll say it's because of their 501c3 status. Even the OIRS has never gone after a church for that. What it really is they don't want to upset the apple cart and lose their donations every week. So we have been raising a sissy generation, and it's been a plan from the beginning. Russia had said America's going to fall. It's going to fall from within. And then Islam took advantage of that plan and said, you're absolutely right. Let's push them over the edge, and it's working. Because we don't have to get to a majority Muslim nation in order for the plan to work. We just have to get to a non-American nation for the plan to work. And at the same time they're taking down America, they're also converting other countries. Look at how Muslim Southeast Asia has become. Why do you think Japan doesn't let any in? Because they see what's happening in the rest of Asia. So Japan's policy is, no, we're not taking any refugees. We're not taking Muslim immigrants. If by some reason you do get here, we're going to segregate you into a different area so you can't infect everybody else. So Japan's saying, no, we don't want to become like the Philippines. We don't want to become like Singapore. We don't want to become like Laos. Because they see what's happening. Well, what happens as this wave of Islam takes over more and more actual official governments in the world? Now they don't have to take over America. They just have to put the noose around America's neck. So we have to be very careful with what our kids are doing in colleges. Should they even go? Where are they going? Is there an organization on campus called the MSA, the Muslim Student Association? Is the ISNA operating in that campus area? And if so, leave. Run. Find the nearest exit. Get out. Because the agenda isn't even secret. They put this stuff on websites. We're just too afraid to say anything about it because we might be called racist or xenophobic or Islamophobic. Or then we might even blame ourselves and say, oh, well, radical Islam is the result of blowback for Western military aggression. No, it's not. This is the same problem that has been plaguing Europe since before America even existed. Radical Islam, or Islam, as one Muslim told me, this is their objective. I had a Muslim lawyer from Iran on the show who said, Josh, you don't have to worry about the radicals. The moderates are far more dangerous. I saw an interview 2 days ago with a Muslim in Great Britain, and this guy was asking him, is it your plan to take over the UK? He said, oh, yeah. Yeah. And we're gonna. I mean, you're out of it. You're done. Your population is dwindling. Ours is growing. Plus, we're having immigrants. You're done. We won. Go away. Not even apologetic about it. But if we just want to twiddle our thumbs and think, well, you know, what else is there to worry about? This is happening. And if Donald does know, hopefully Donald can do something about it. Hopefully Donald stays on the right side of this thing. But even look at people like Michael Flynn. Here we have a lieutenant general who got paid $600,000 to be a foreign agent for Turkey. Now, Turkey is becoming one of the most radically Islamic places on the planet, and he was hired through a shell corporation, which means both sides knew what they were doing was wrong. And he's been hired by Erdogan's side to go after the Gulen side, who's living in Pennsylvania, setting up all these charter schools. Well, how deep does this taproot run? If you have a lieutenant general on an Islamic payroll who went around the country talking about how dangerous Islam is, you have to start asking the question. So obviously Turkey might be on the side of whoever's really pulling the strings here. Well, guess who said they have a wonderful relationship with Donald Trump? Turkey. And notice how Saudi Arabia came out this past week and said, oh, man, there's no bigger friend to Islam than Donald Trump. Wait a second. I'm not saying Donald Trump's in on it, at least not yet. But it does raise a couple red flags when one of your administration officials has to resign because, well, actually, we found out you were a foreign agent. Oh, that whole, you know, Russian thing? Yeah, that's just the cover. We found out you're working for the Turks. So we got rid of you. But at the same time, these two other radical countries, who are actually the larger sponsors of terrorism, they get a total pass and they're buddy-buddies with the administration. So you have to start asking yourself, does he know? And if so, does he really understand what's going on? Can he do anything about it? If he is on our side, are they going to try to stop him? And as we've been seeing so far in this three-month-old administration, he is stuck in quicksand. Congress has literally passed nothing. They're not planning on passing much. The intelligence community is trying to take him down literally every day. There's people in the bureaucracy above presidential top secret clearance who are trying to orchestrate some sort of coup or resignation. So we really have to ask ourselves, hey, wait a second, we as individuals listening to the Hagman Report, we need to be ready for whatever's coming.
That's right. And I want to point out something. This Flynn situation bothers the heck out of me. America's largest mosque complex, and your video pointed this out, known as the Turkish American Culture and Civilization Center, was built with Turkish money under the supervision of the Turkish Religious Foundation. It's a $100 million mega mosque. Obama was there to dedicate this this seditious center in Lanham, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. They've got the foothold in this country, and people better wake the hell up and understand what's going on, as you so very, very pointedly pointed this out. And yes, this Flynn situation bothers the heck out of me, working for the Turkish lobbying concern. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. I don't know. Let me ask you a question, Josh. Sure. Real quick before I forget. Do we know? Okay, obviously you've got commercial airliners flying in these refugees. There's got to be some sort of a contract, whether it's a loose or there's got to be some paperwork here. Do we know which airlines are flying them in? Do we know anything about this? Specifics?
We're working on that.
In terms of airlines. Okay. All right.
Yep, we're actually working on that because it's almost like this was the first pebble to come out of the dam. Since this first pebble, people are contacting us. You know, whether they're running, you know, the shuttle buses, whether they're working in the airports, you know, hey, it was at this gate, that sort of thing. So we're working on that. But the reality is that ultimately it's going to come down to, yeah, so what? That's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to, yeah, so what? Yeah. So, yeah, let's say XYZ airline was hired to fly from somewhere in the Middle East to Kansas City. So what? That's what we do. They hired us to do it, and we did it. That's it. And that's kind of what we've seen in the past. See, this is how we know we're in serious trouble. Because it's not just Islam. Islam has an ally, and it's whatever this shadow deep state government thing is, whatever this really is. Because remember when Obama came out and said, oh, no, you heard the rumors in the alternative media that we're spying on citizens? No, we don't do that. And then they came out and said, okay, yeah, we do that. Was there a mea culpa? Was there a, hey, you know, we're repenting, we're going to redo our program? No, there was just, oh, yeah, okay, you caught us. So what? And then it was, well, you're not supposed to listen to any calls that aren't international. Okay, so what did they do then? And they started running your cell phone calls through towers in Canada, running back in, now it's an international call. So what? And then last time I was on your show, we were talking about this thing called fake news. Well, oh, it's only to fight international fake news. Okay, so they're fighting international fake news. Who owns the internet? Oh, that's right, the international community. Obama signed it over in October. So now the internet is essentially international. So if you're distributing your your podcasts, your blogs, your articles, whatever you have via the internet, well, guess what? That's international fake news. So what? And they've gotten us to the point where literally they can do anything to us. And what do? Well, we send out a mean tweet or something. I mean, think about this. Think about this. You had Hillary Clinton, who should have been in prison. Literally, I mean, she had, like, how many, 57 pending federal felonies against this lady? She should have been in prison. Her supporters are drinking semen, blood milk, or breast milk and blood. You have people who are running this Pizzagate thing. You have these clues that point to occult activity. So what? Like, they didn't even have to respond. So what? Who's going to do anything? Oh, so the Hagman Report points it out. So what? We still know 90% of Americans are dumb. They're attached to their TVs. They're listening to sports instead of the Hagman Report. So what? None of this would have stood 200 years ago. None of this would have stood even 60 years ago. But it started with the dumbing down of America, the neutering of the American male, the convincing the American woman that it's bad to be a woman, because if you can convince women it's bad to be women, you essentially neuter the men anyway. So they did that, they got that in place, now they can do whatever they want to do, and the response is, so what? The Obama administration kills an American teenager, the response was, well, he should have had a better dad. You had Michael, and I'm forgetting his last name, killed in a Mercedes-Benz accident while he was investigating drone use. Mercedes came out and said there is no physical way that engine separated from the car without an explosion. The government's response, so what? That's the problem. That's the enemy. That so what enemy has partnered with Islam. Matter of fact, if you go back far enough to Medina, that so what enemy created Islam, but that's a whole show in and of itself. And it's been one plan for a very long time. And judging by the next generation, the plan is coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm locked and loaded. And I'm serious. I'm loaded for bear, Josh. I don't know what it's going to take. And I'll just say this. I'm sick and tired of these, as you pointed out, the wussified Christians out there, the people who are so... milquetoast about everything. You better get a grip. You better stand up for what is right. You better understand it's at our doorstep. It's in our house. Everything, all of this is in our house, and we need to do something. And I got to tell you something. The censorship that's going on, this is real. Everything that we're talking about is real. And you know, we have to fight back. There's nothing in the Bible that says we have to turn the other cheek and take this crap. I understand what I'm saying here, but we're short on time. But I'm not apologetic for my tone nor my intent. My intent is to fight back. And I think, Josh, I think all of the independent media who understand the lateness of the hour, and I'm speaking to our audience too. If you are too busy crocheting a sweater and feel that you're, you know, or whatever you might be, or complaining about, you know, a bad word used here or there, or if you're so offended about doctrinal issues that may or may not be said correctly, then you know what? Get the hell out of my way, because I'm going forward, and I think we all ought to get together. All of the independent media ought to get together, and we ought to just blow everything we can out of the water. I'm not talking about with bombs, but you know, with our actions. We need to push this forward. We need to push our agenda to get these other people out of the way.
You're absolutely right. And one thing that you just said, Doug, is so crucial. When Jesus said, Father, let them be one as you and I are one, we need that. Stop with the blog post talking about, well, he interpreted Isaiah 53 wrong and he's a false teacher. Now, shut up. That's not what a false teacher actually is, and it's a false prophet too. So this whole idea that we're going to destroy each other from within. Did Peter say to Paul, you false teacher? No, nobody has it right. Nobody. Which is why when Jesus comes back, he's going to set it right. Stop tearing ourselves apart. If you're the enemy, you have to be sitting back saying, are you kidding me? We don't even have to go in. Look at them tearing each other apart on different blog posts. Well, Doug said this, and that's pre-trib, and I'm post-trib. Well, the other person's mid-trib. Well, they're false. Shut up. Just seriously, you are the problem. You're one of those people in Matthew where you will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, and I will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Stop drawing a divide in the brethren and build unity in the brethren, because that's the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and body, and love your brother, love your neighbor. And when we're killing each other, the enemy's winning.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. And thank you. Yeah, I can't believe we're got two minutes left. Josh Tully, his program on GCN, 10 to noon Eastern. That's the real time, by the way. Eastern time, that is. I got to tell you, and his YouTube video, just go to the Josh Tully channel. Look for that video. What's the title again?
I think it's Diseased Refugees Entering, Getting Social Security Numbers and Passports.
There it is. Okay. Well, let's make
and
that
like
go
And like I said
viral.
Before, go ahead, copy it, share it, do whatever you want to do, because it's really that important. I know YouTube hits are important, but this message is important, because if this is happening and everything points that it is, this needs to be everywhere tomorrow morning.
Amen, brother. And, you know, I want to thank you so much for your investigative efforts, product on this. And we're going to be following this very closely. Wow. Just wow. And thank you for taking the point on this, the leadership position. And I'm just proud to know you, brother. I really am.
Well, same with you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And let's just keep pushing this issue, bringing unity, bringing solutions, and bringing exposure to the problem. And folks, keep supporting their sponsors. I say this every time. If we want the message to grow, support the sponsors of the media that you enjoy, because that's what allows it to grow. The reason the enemy wins is because they got a ton of money, and it's time that shifts.
You got that right. We got the numbers. We will win on the we can win on the numbers, but we're going to win on the effort. Josh Tully, thank you so very much. You've closed out the program for tonight. All right. God bless, brother. And that'll do it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. My goodness, what a powerful, powerful hour. Please share that hour with everyone. But most importantly, go to Josh Tully. His YouTube channel.
Yeah,
make sure you
Josh
subscribe
Tully on YouTube.
Yeah, and get that video out to everyone you know, and let's push for answers. You know what? Stop. Get the hell off the couch. I'm talking to you. Get off the couch. Let's get up. And I don't care if we got to light the torches, carry the pitchforks. But I'll tell you something. I'm saddling for battle. You either join us or get the hell out of our way.
Until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, and have a great evening.